It's awesome to be together this morning. We are in a series called Parent Traps and Maps. And this week, as Mike said, we are titling it Love Like a Mother. I liked Love Like a Mother, but they told me we couldn't do that one. but anyway, I have the privilege. My name is Daily Hunt. If we haven't met, I'm on staff around this place. And I have the privilege today of interviewing a mom that I admire and respect, a mom who... I'll say it because I know she's not perfect.
No.
but she knows Jesus. And so I'm really grateful to get to sit and ask her questions today. If you don't know who this is Debbie Bro. Everybody give her a round of applause. So grateful Debbie is here. If you don't know, Debbie is married to Mike Bro, who teaches here from time to time. He's the bald guy, you know, can't miss him. She's also mom to Jody Hickerson and mother-in-law to Mike Hickerson. So we'll be praying for you.
I have my hands full.
But you have other kids, you have other daughters-in-law, you have grandkids. So just tell us a little bit about your family and what season you're in right now.
Yeah, so Jody is 43. Derek, some of you all know Derek, he is 41, and Drew is 39. And I have 10 grandchildren. My oldest is Hayden Hickerson, who is here today. And my youngest is 1 year old. Ooh. So that's a long span. So you hear sometimes that the days are long, but the years are short. I've been through two cycles. So I can tell you the years are short.
You really have. I mean, you have experienced all of the things. You have experienced the mothering, yeah, and now the grandmothering. And with that many experiences, I'm sure you have like some good stories. Any funny or memorable stories stand out to you about your kids or grandkids?
Well, some of you all may know Derek. He was on staff here for 7 years and led worship some and played music. And he's an introvert. And I don't know how we got an introvert, but we got an introvert. But so he was quiet. But when he was growing up, we called him the master of disaster. And when I did his high school album, I had 5 certificates of bravery from the local hospital. And he had 3 sets of stitches, a broken arm, and one time he pinched off a piece of Nerf ball and stuck it up his nose. And I didn't know it. And so I called the doctor one day and just said, I don't know what to do about this. He doesn't have a fever, but we can't rock him because his nose stinks really bad. And he had an infection up there, and we couldn't see the Nerf ball. And 10 days later, after the medicine worked, we could look up there and see those little holes. And so Mike and I argued about who was going to take him back and get the Nerf ball, pulled back out. But anyway, he gave us a run for our money.
Sounds like it. Well, so I hope that's encouragement. If any of you guys have any masters of disaster in your house, there's hope.
Yeah,
there's hope for them.
He's still living.
He's still living. And you're still living.
Everything is still living.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm so grateful that I get to sit here and just ask you questions. I'm new to the mothering game. I have a 2-year-old. Her name is Henley. Another little girl due in July. So I'm either brave or stupid. I don't know. But I'm just really grateful to get to sit here and ask you some, you know, questions about what it means to love like a mother. And something that kind of is just really personal to the season that I'm in is like, how can you encourage moms, me, who are like in the thick of it, who are in the diapers and the nap schedules and the temper tantrums and sleepless nights. Is there hope for us? Is there hope for us, Debbie?
Well, first of all, I'm not an expert by any means, but I know an expert. And so that's what I want to encourage you with this today. And probably what you're talking about right now is Romans I'll go to Romans 12, 1, and it just says, take your ordinary life, your everyday walking around, going to school life, and present it to God as a sacrifice. And I think you're in that season of mothering where it seems ordinary, but there are treasures in the ordinary. And sometimes the ordinary, because of your faithfulness, becomes extraordinary. And there's gems along the way. There's deposits of love and joy and peace and discipline and all the things that you're depositing. And that's the, Romans 12, 1 says, that's the best thing that you can do for him. It's the best thing that we can do for ourselves as God, you know, chips away the rough edges in our own life. And as he makes deposits in our little ones.
Yeah, and I'll throw this one at you too, because I'm not there yet, but you have been there, and I'm sure there are a lot of people in the room who are in that. But what about moms who are kind of done with the mothering in their kids in their house, and they're on to this new season of mothering adult children, or maybe mothering older teenagers and things like that? What would you say to them?
Yeah, well, I would say stay on your knees. That's the best advice that I can give. You know, I talk about this a little bit, but for our children, our older children, we can't change their hearts for them, you know, and if they're wandering, you know, let's just stay on our knees on their behalf. We can't change their heart. We can throw the biggest birthday parties. We can, you know, be the best homeroom mom, but we can't change their heart. There's a scripture that says, deny yourself, you know, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. So, you know, some of us are waiting. Somebody said one time that if there's 100 steps between you and God, or your child and God, God would take 99. But he waits for that surrender. And some of us are praying for that surrender right now.
Oh, that's so good. All right, well, that was it, guys. That's it. No, I'm just kidding. But no, that's super encouraging. I mean, personally for me, just knowing that there is hope for me in the thick of it. I think it's easy if you are a mom or a parent of young kids. We're talking about parent traps, and there's this survival trap that's like, if I can get myself dressed and my kids dressed, and maybe they ate something today, and we're all still alive at the end of the day, then this is a win. And those days are not wrong. I have many of those days, but it is such a sweet reminder that every moment can be set apart for like spiritual formation, for God forming in us the heart of like who he has made us to be. And that continues young kids all the way up to older kids, because the whole time you have no control.
Yeah.
with little ones and older kids, you don't have any control. And so it requires setting aside a lot of that stuff and just asking God to spiritually form us and surrender to him, which is a reminder that I need every day, all day.
Well, love in the scripture is always sacrificial. God, you know, I mean, he gave the ultimate sacrifice and showed how sacrificial love really was. So if we can see those long days, you know, of ordinary days as our sacrifice of love, you know, that's doing a work that we might not be able to see for several years, but it's making deposits, eternal deposits.
No, that's so good. I said earlier, you've been through all the stages of mothering. You have mothered young kids. You have mothered elementary school, middle school. You have mothered high school, and now you're mothering adults. And so I just I'd love to know, like, what season was kind of your most difficult season when you look back? Where did you really have to kind of be on your knees?
Yeah. And well, before I get into the hard season, I'll tell you the two things that I felt like God taught me such a long time ago. And the first thing was, it's okay to be weak. You're not going to read that in any kind of secular book, but it's okay to be weak. Weakness will probably be our greatest asset. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." Mm-hmm. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Mm-hmm. So in our weakness, Christ's strength rests on us. Mm-hmm. And so I always viewed it like as going to the well. Like, you know how the woman at the well went and she met Jesus, and Jesus said, "I can give you water that you'll never thirst again." And there's all types of scriptures mm-hmm. about he is the spring of living mm-hmm. water. And so Jeremiah, I memorized it a long time ago, but I couldn't remember it in first service. But Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that do not hold water." Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage everyone, every mother, this is where we go. We go to the well. We don't dig our own cisterns. And there's a lot of self-care talk now, and I love it. I see it on social media all the time. Moms doing self-care things, getting massages and all the things. But as part of that self-care, we must incorporate soul care. Mm-hmm. And that's where we go to the well, yeah. where in our weakness, he makes us strong.
Yeah.
And then we get up for another round.
Yeah. So how were you able to, when you're in a season where maybe your kids are making mistakes or you're in a really difficult season, how did you navigate it with this well? How did you face that?
Yeah. Well, some of you all have heard Jody's story. And so that was a really, really hard season mm-hmm. in my life. It probably lasted 3 years. And it was because, I say 3 years because when I looked in her eyes, and you know they say the eyes are the window to the soul, mm-hmm. I could see that she was trying to find her own way. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, they say the sin beneath the sin mm-hmm. is, you know, we want to do things our own way. Mm-hmm. We want to be sovereign over our own life. Mm-hmm. And so she went down that road, and it was so hard. I felt so helpless. Mm-hmm. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we prayed this specific prayer that God would open the eyes of her heart because there was so much deception. And when you looked in her eyes, you could see the deception. Mm-hmm. But the thing about Jody was, and you all know this about her, she has the Holy Spirit in her. And the scripture says we can quench him, but he will never leave us. Mm. And so while she was quenching him, he was not condemning her, but he was convicting her. Mm. And she was miserable, and she cried for 2 or 3 years straight. I mean, she still rebelled, yeah. but she cried herself to sleep at night. And that's where God taught me that I could do all the things, but I couldn't change her heart. Mm. And so we reap, you know, the scripture says that we sow and we water, you know, we make all the deposits, mm-hmm. but only God can give the growth. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was such a lesson for me. And I stayed on my knees and trusted God. And mm-hmm. she came back, you know, with a vengeance, as you all know.
That's right.
But some of you all are still praying for your children mm-hmm. That way. And just stay on your knees. Mm-hmm. God has a plan.
Yeah. How did, kind of throwing this at you, but how was it when Jody was kind of in this place mm-hmm. and you couldn't do anything about it, how did you keep yourself from feeling the weight of, like, did I do something wrong? Mm-hmm. Am I a bad mom? Mm-hmm. Did I, you know, how did you navigate that?
Well, I felt all those things.
Yeah.
I felt all those things. And I think the lesson for me was, where's my well, mm-hmm. you know? And I've got to keep going back to the well.
Yeah.
And like I said, I couldn't change her heart, so I just kept going back to the well. And part of the well is wisdom that's hidden in there. And so I prayed for godly wisdom every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still pray for godly wisdom every day. Mm-hmm. We won't stop praying for wisdom until the day we die. But we prayed for wisdom that we would know how to handle the different things that were happening. And we just trusted in that, you know, she was, one day she was going to come back. And she did.
Gosh, that has to be so hard, though, in the waiting.
Yes.
And the story now is so good.
Yeah.
But the waiting point parts got to, you know, probably so hard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it wasn't easy, you know, to continue to go back to that well. I'm sure there were times as a mom where you have messed up and you have, you know, you're not perfect. No perfect people, right? we believe that here. So what did you do? What have you learned about what it means to mess up as a mom?
Yeah.
and kind of model that even for your kids?
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is that I learned is that you say you're sorry a lot. And, you know, so many of the things God teaches are caught, or that, you know, in parenting, they're caught, not taught. And one of the biggest things that's a hindrance to our kids is pride and entitlement and self-sovereignty, you know, wanting to be their own gods. So when we can model, hey, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, I messed that up, I yelled too much today, you know, I reacted instead of responded, you know, when we can model that kind of humility, I think it helps them, like, to one day have a posture of repentance every day.
Yeah.
Because that's really what we need, is a posture of repentance every day.
Yeah. And I kind of feel like there's this thread that's running through everything, where it just keeps going back to returning to the well, returning to Jesus, returning to his wisdom that he gives so freely when we ask, like, he gives it.
Yes.
And it's not complicated, but it's not easy, because it does mean laying down our pride and saying that we don't have it all together. We don't know how to be the perfect parent. We don't know what to do. And that's really hard. I mean, that's hard for me. I am a perfectionist, and I love knowing what to do.
Yeah.
But, like, the beauty of this is that we don't have to know, and we're not expected to.
Yeah.
And there's a source who can give us what we need.
And the genius of God, like I said before, is that we keep coming to the well because we are weak and we need him and we need his wisdom.
Yeah.
And you can read all the books, you know, and you can have spiritual mentors that have been there, and I highly recommend all of those. But they are never a substitute for the daily walking with God. I want to know you, God. I want to hear your still, small voice say, this is the way, walk in it. Show me your ways. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth. Those are the things that keep us coming back to him for all the decisions that have to be made at the spur of the moment, you know.
Yeah.
So,
something that I think I'm personally kind of living in right now, and I think a lot of us, you know, maybe younger moms are experiencing, is this kind of influencer culture, social media, you know, inundated with you have to be perfect. There are perfect families, and there are perfect moms, and we don't show the imperfect parts of ourselves, or where we're messing up, or where we're getting it wrong. We kind of present this shiny, happy facade. So do you have any encouragement for us? I know, you know, like, social media and Instagram wasn't a thing when you were parenting, and that's honestly probably a huge blessing.
Yeah.
But do you have any words of encouragement for those of us that are kind of navigating parenting, mothering in that world?
Yeah. I would just say that's a heavy burden to strive after, you know, the look or the perfection.
Yeah.
It's so freeing to admit weakness and then to allow God to do whatever he wants to do in us, and to have a support system that comes around us. It's very freeing, and that's the way God designed it to be. And so I would just, you know, I didn't parent during social media. I would just say that a lot of discipling is happening in social media. And so parents, you know, that's a sermon for another time and a guest for another time. But I just know that with my grandkids, I don't want them to be discipled by the world. And so whatever adjustments we need to make, we need to make.
Yeah, and it's easy for us to, for me too, to say like, oh yeah, you know, teenagers and you know, kids are being discipled by social media. But I am just as guilty of being discipled by the people that I see on social media as anyone else. And so just that reminder to kind of decide where I want to be spiritually formed, how I want to be spiritually formed, who I want to be spiritually forming me, and how I want to model that for my kids is important, and it matters. And I want to just quick, or not quick, but just take a second to acknowledge that, like, a conversation like this where we're talking about mothering can feel very heavy for a lot of us in the room. It can feel just disappointing and heartbreaking. You know, we've all had moms, but maybe it wasn't the greatest relationship, or they're not with us anymore, or we have been through all of the seasons of mothering, and now we look back and we just see all of the ways that we messed up and wish we could go back and do it differently, or there's this longing for motherhood, being a mom, that's in us, and it's just not fulfilled. And so I know something that is super important to you, Debbie, is this idea of like spiritual families, you know, finding that love, that connection, that community within a spiritual family. So can you share with us a little bit about that and what that's meant to you? And
Well, one of my favorite verses is Psalm 68. I think it's verse 6. It just says, God sets the lonely people in families. He sets the captives free and gives them joy. And while the nuclear family, God meant for it to be, you know, so life-giving, the truth is that in our brokenness, lots of times it isn't life-giving. Mm-hmm. And so So I love the concept of spiritual family, how, you know, in Acts, he gave us a new community, and it was to be like family. We were going to be God's family, and that's why mission offers so many things for you to be part of this family, and it's beautiful to see the just how we can come together, and we can be family for each other, and even though the nuclear family is always going to be important, it's, you know, there's going to be brokenness there. One of the neatest things to me is that God redeems, and oh, how he loves to redeem. So the testimony coming from that redemption can just affect generations, really. And so, yeah, I just encourage everyone in that. If you don't have a strong nuclear family, you can find a family here. You can find a family in God's family. And your story is not done. He is in the business of redeeming our stories.
Yeah, that's so good. How do we, just for those of us in the room who maybe we have great families, how do we be that spiritual family for somebody? How do we kind of accept that calling to be someone's, you know, their family?
Yeah. Well, I was a spiritual grandma this week to a gal that I actually met at Mission, and she came to Kentucky to the Refuge for Women, and she has twin girls now, and she's married and has twin girls, and she doesn't have family really around or available or healthy. And so I was able, you know, she comes to our Sunday dinners, we babysit. It's part of it is just, you know, being available. Part of it is knowing other people's stories and intentionality to, you know, be a spiritual grandma or be a, you know, include people.
I love that. Just being available. It's a lot more simple than I think we would think. If as long as we are available and willing, we can be that spiritual family for people. Well, I could ask Debbie a million more questions, but we'd be here like all day long. And I mean, maybe you'd like that. I would love that. But just last parting shot, encouragement. If they don't hear anything else, or they don't remember anything else, what would you want this room to walk out remembering?
Yeah. Well, I want to close with two things. The first thing is a story that I'm reading a book by Rosaria, I think that's her name, Butterfield, and she was a tenured professor at Syracuse University, and she loved opening her home, hospitality, all the spiritual family things, but she wasn't a Christian, and so she would notice at the end of the night, they would all share their struggles, and then there would be a hopelessness that would kind of fill the air. Mm-hmm. And then a preacher and his wife moved next door, and they had small group, and they invited her over, and she wasn't interested in their Jesus at all, but she went. And long story short, she became a strong Christian. But she said the thing that marked her was at the end of the night. They all had hard stories, just like her at her house, but they all came together and they prayed. And they laid all their burdens at the foot of the cross. And she said, hope rose. Mm-hmm. And he is the answer. Mm-hmm. We don't have the answer on our own, and we never will. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I believe about God bringing the Savior of the world here through a family, if you can read Matthew, you know the genealogy. He used families to bring the Savior of the world, the Savior into the world. Mm-hmm. And I often wondered, why did he use families? You know, there was so much brokenness along the way. And this author that I'm reading, she said she believes that God did that, brought the Savior of the world through a family, because we needed to know what it felt like to hold a child and mm-hmm. feel that unexplainable mm-hmm. love as they are placed into our arms.
Yeah.
Because Scripture refers to us over and over as children of God. And he wanted us to have an experience where we would know how much, 100 times more than we could love our own, how much he loves us. Mm-hmm. Oh, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. Mm-hmm. And that is what we are. We are daughters of the Most High God. Mm-hmm. And we can't get any higher than that. So mm-hmm. I would just encourage you in that.
Thank you.
He loves you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Can everyone give Debbie a round of applause? Just tell her thank you. So grateful. Well, during this series, each week we have been reading a charge or an encouragement or a blessing over specific groups of people. And so we've asked Debbie today if she would read a blessing over all of the women in this room. So if you're a woman in the room, would you stand with us? No matter what age or stage, if you're a woman in this room. And Debbie's gonna read this blessing over us as we head back out into the world.
What you do is important, all of you. But who you are is more important. You are mothers, grandmothers, teachers, sisters, mentors, but you are all daughters of the Most High God. And he sees you. He loves you. He is with you. Oh God of love, it is such a joy to bless our moms, those who have carried us in their bodies and in their hearts and in their minds, and all those who have mothered us in some form or fashion. We honor them all, those we can hug today and those who are now gone or distant from us. We ask your blessing too on those for whom mothering is complicated, difficult, heartbreaking, or incomplete. Bless and heal and restore and rebuild all generations, forwards and backwards in time. God, with all the genius of your creative power, rain down your blessing upon all kinds of mothering we give. And that which we have received, Be to us the nurturing embrace we need. Give us strength. Give us wisdom. Make us brave. In Jesus' name, amen.